The epistle for the vigil of the Nativity is taken from Romans chapter 1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised before by his prophets and the holy scriptures concerning his Son, who was made to him of the seed of David according to the flesh, who was predestined the Son of God in power, according to the Spirit of sanctification by the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith in all nations for his name, who are called also of Jesus Christ our Lord. Please stand for the gospel. The gospel is taken from Matthew chapter 1. When Mary, the mother of Jesus, was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Whereupon Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing publicly to expose her, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in his sleep, saying, Joseph, son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Please be seated. This day you shall know that the Lord will come and save us, and in the morning you shall see his glory. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. As I mentioned, this Mass, this vigil of the Nativity, replaces the fourth Sunday in Advent. And so therefore, our preparation has been shorter this year. We have cut down a week in the preparation for the great feast of Christmas, the preparing for the coming of the Christ child. And so all the more so can we ask our question, you know, are we prepared for this great feast? Because it has come so much more quickly for us. This Mass of Christmas Eve has many beautiful sentiments in it, one that obviously not a lot of times, you know, people have a chance to attend, just because it doesn't usually fall on a Sunday, and so there's not, in a sense for us, to see the kind of the beauty that the Church gives to us just before the Feast of Christmas. There's a lot of fruit that we can draw from this Mass. At the beginning, I quoted from the intro to the Mass, reminds us of why our Lord came. He came specifically to save us. That was his whole purpose in his coming, and that's why, you know, we look at that, and it says that. He comes to save us, and that is why in the morning we shall see his glory. And his glory is because he is the King, he is the Messiah, he is the promised one that we've been waiting for. And so that's where when we had, you know, the disciples of St. John the Baptist, they asked, are you the one that is to come, or is there another one? Are you the one that we've been waiting for? And so certainly our Lord is this one. He is the one that we have been waiting for. And so for us, what are we saved from? Clearly we're saved from our sins. And that is where then the darkness comes out when we think that our Lord came at that time, comes at midnight because of the darkness of sin. And so therefore, he is this light to the world. So I think for us, then we look at what have been our dispositions during this time period of Advent. You know, for us, we can look back now, since it's basically over for us. How have we spent this time? What have been our dispositions for that? And so one, the collect of the Mass, tells us that we are gladdened by the yearly expectation of our redemption. So we expect, we have that idea of that the redemption of our souls have taken place because our Lord came into this world. And so that's what we expect every year. That is what the anticipation for this Feast of Christmas is. We anticipate because our Lord is coming to save us. So again and again, that's why we have the idea we prepare for what? We prepare for our Lord coming into our soul as a means to redeem us. And so if we spend, say, the calendar year away from God's graces, well, now it's time for us to prepare for that, for our Lord to come into our soul. So that's why we try to examine during the time period of Advent, what are our dispositions? What do we need to work on? How can we try to receive our Lord more worthily? Because it is a spiritual receiving that we have of our Lord at this time. And so that's why we have to look at, and the collect tells us, yes, we're gladdened because of this yearly expectation of our redemption, of our Lord coming. And so what does it mean for us? It tells us that we should joyfully receive our Lord. And that joyfulness comes from the fact that we are prepared, as with anything else. If we're ready for something, there's a greater joy for us with that. But if we find ourselves not prepared for this great feast, well, yes, it loses some of its joyfulness because of that. If we find our soul out of the state of grace, well, then we cannot receive our Lord as we should spiritually into our soul. Because, you know, again, are we ready? Do we spend this time preparing for that by our sacrifices, by our penances, by our mortifications? You know, sometimes the extra work that we have to do, you know, did we take advantage of that? I mean, just as I mentioned this last Sunday, that Wednesday, Friday, and Saturday were Ember Days, a perfect opportunity for us to prepare. You know, gives us that chance, gives us that opportunity to do some even more penance in the preparation for our Lord. But human nature is human nature. A lot of times we look for excuses from those to try to get away from having to follow them. And I think it's, you know, it's something that we should take advantage of what the church gives to us. Holy Mother, the church knows exactly what we need. She knows we need to do penance. And so therefore, that is why you have the penitential time periods of Advent, of Lent, to be able to do penance, but then also giving us these opportunities. You know, an opportunity to try to do more penance, more sacrifices that the church imposes upon us. It imposes it because, again, she knows her children. She knows the weakness of human nature of how, yes, we'll try to get around these things and seeing what excuses we can make and not having to follow them. But why? Because, again, a weak human nature. And so that's why we look at our dispositions. What excuses did we make during this time to get away from maybe the mortifications that we were going to take on? Or the penances that we offered to God? How many times did we end up breaking them? And certainly it's not to, you know, to cause us to be discouraged, but it's to try to help us to see how easily we do. We give ourselves these breaks from it, or, you know, cut from that, cut from this. It's like, these aren't as important. Well, no, we need to take advantage of what God gives to us. You know, do we desire the easy path? Are we looking for exceptions? I mean, that's where we try to take advantage of this time period in offering it to Almighty God. God will reward us for our generosity. Time and time again, we see how Almighty God rewards us for being generous, of being able to offer that to Him. And so God rewards us for that. And then you see in the Collect of the Mass, I mentioned before that the Collect kind of sets the theme for us, sort of shows to us what the Church is trying to help us to see, what our dispositions need to be from each and every one of the Masses. But the Collect of the Mass continues in saying that we behold our Lord as our judge, but without fear. And again, it comes back to the fact of why would it be without fear? Because then we're not fearing our judgment itself. And so I think that's something that's important for us, to look at these words that the church gives to us. If you're not prepared, you're going to be fearful. But if we're prepared, if we're trying to do the best that we can in the eyes of God, well, then we will not, you know, fear Him as our judge coming to us. And again, I think that reminds us of how the church ends the liturgical year and how it begins the liturgical year, with that idea of our judgment, the general judgment that is to come. And so this is kind of a reminder to us of that. This is kind of like a show to us of saying, do not fear Almighty God as your judge. The only reason that you will fear Him is if you are not ready for that. You know, granted, obviously none of us will think, well, I'm not ready to die yet or not ready to face my judgment. But we have to ask why. Is it just because we desire a longer time period in this life? Or is it because we're not ready spiritually? Is our soul away from God's grace? You know, if that's the case, again, we've got to do something about it. We've got to change something. We need to take advantage of the opportunities for confession, to change our lives, to make sacrifices, to cut out things that we need to cut out. So that's why it's good for us then to reflect upon these things, especially, yes, as we come to tonight, when we celebrate with the Midnight Mass. So it's a great opportunity for us now, you know, to think about that. And then the Alleluia continues. Which I think is interesting that obviously the Alleluia is only recited if Christmas Eve falls on a Sunday. So not many times do we even read the Alleluia, recite the Alleluia. But it says, tomorrow shall the iniquity of the earth be abolished and the Savior of the world reign over us. So again, this idea of sin. Sin being abolished, sin being taken away, because our Lord comes into the world. And that, again, goes back to the idea of celebrating the fact, the anticipation, the expectation of our Lord coming, our redemption. Our redemption was won when our Lord came into this world. We've got to do our part to continue that. But that's what's important for us to realize. Our Lord came into the world to save us. But again, as we talked last week, that being saved is not automatic for us. We've got to live our life pleasing to God. We've got to live according to His commandments. We've got to live according to what He asks from us. And that is where then we will receive the graces from Almighty God. And so that's where, again, the gospel talks about our Lord shall save His people from their sins. And so it's beautiful for us to reflect and look at the Mass itself in the liturgy and what it's trying to tell us, what dispositions is it trying to give to us. As I mentioned, it's something good for us to reflect what have been our dispositions. How have we spent Advent? I mean, granted, we can say it's gone by quickly, but have we spent it wisely? Have we used our time wisely in the preparation for our Lord? Or as with anything else, is our Lord coming and it's, you know, so quickly for us that we're not ready for that? So a reflection for us today to try to prepare us for then this Christmas season. And again, you know, God comes to give to us many graces, but those graces will be based off of our disposition, our preparation. Some souls will receive more, some souls will receive less. But our Lord is wanting and willing to try to give us these graces for our soul. And so that's why in the secret it says, anticipate the adorable birth of thy Son, so we may joyfully receive His eternal gifts. And so that wraps it up very well for us. That we're joyful in the fact of our Lord coming, His birthday, His adorable birthday, that it comes. And then also that we receive these eternal gifts. And obviously it's in reference to heaven for us. And helping us to save our soul. And so it's beautiful for us just to look and to reflect upon this vigil mass. And again, what the church is trying to give to us as dispositions. So let us pray to the Mother of God. Obviously, she was so well prepared to be the first tabernacle of our Lord. That we also can be prepared for His coming. Dispose ourselves to receive His graces, the gifts that He is willing to give to us. And then truly that we don't fear, you know, that our Lord's coming, that we have prepared the way for Him because the Lord is nigh. In the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.